Well, welcome back, and Jane, thank you so much for serving us so wonderfully. So we've looked at the three main types of psalm. There are others, but we've thought about the praise psalms that really they're the God is great psalms. We've thought about the thanksgiving psalms, how we can use them to celebrate a little deliverance, the personal deliverances, which we do celebrate, but they point us to the big deliverance, our salvation by Christ achieved at the cross. But in fact, and also that points us to little deliverances, by the way. Of course, Paul in Romans, if God gave us his own son, well, he will also give us with him all things. You know, if he didn't spare his son. So we celebrate God's deliverances, big and small. We've thought about lament psalms, crying out to God, not grumbling about him, but even when our language is a bit imperfect, pouring it out to the Lord with great honesty and how approachable he is. So I hope that just gives windows into both those areas of praise, thanksgiving and lament, but also helps you as you come to a psalm and you sort of have a sense of what might be going on. What I want to do in this final session, the final handout, is thinking about praying psalms. If you're anything like me, you sort of think, right, I've got a bit of time, I'm going to sit and pray. I'll sit and pray for 5 minutes. And so you sit down and you pray, and you think it's probably about 5 minutes, and you check your watch and it's 23 and a half seconds. And you've run out of things to say. And you stretch it to the minute, and then prayer in one sense is easy. Because we have free access to the throne of grace. Christ has done the work. We have been made sons and daughters that we might cry out to God. He hears us when we pray. That's what it means for him to be our God. We call him Father. The Holy Spirit intercedes with us and helps us as we pray. So in one sense, we don't need more access to God. That's been won by Christ. But perhaps, like me, your prayers become a little bit stale. Once you've said the same prayer a few times, it gets a bit boring, and prayer starts to feel a bit dreary because of that, or just you run out of things to say. And I think that's one of the gifts the Psalms can be, is to help us pray. This session is absolutely not saying, however you thought you could pray, scrap that. This is how to pray. That's not what we're doing here. Rather, it's saying, many of us have that moment where we've sort of, I've run out of things to say and I want to pray, but maybe I'm drawing a blank, or my prayers have got a bit, maybe there's people we pray for regularly, I pray for my godchildren, please bless Hannah, please bless Louisa. Again, amen. to be honest, the Lord hears and answers that prayer. Like, it's not that I need to pray a better prayer, but actually, for me, that experience, can be a bit more dry than it might be. And the Psalms are one way. So this is not to rule out, we pour out all our petitions to God, as Paul says in Philippians. But here's one way that we might find it easier to pray. And I do think, to sort of have our hearts retuned to the things that God is concerned about, to pray things very much in line with his will. What a wonderful thing to be praying for things that we know God is encouraging us to do. And so, again, hear this as a help that might be useful rather than a this is the only way. But I found it helpful, just with a few principles, to be able to take psalms and turn them into prayers. Because we think of the psalms as the prayer book of the Bible, or we might, it's been called that, but not every psalm looks like the sort of prayers that I start by praying, Dear Lord or Heavenly Father. Whereas, Psalm 23 on your sheet there, the Lord is my shepherd. That doesn't look like a prayer. So, in a sense, we need to do some work before that is obviously a prayer. So, what do we do? Here are three ways that I think we can take words from the Psalms and use them to enrich our prayers, to help us. Three little principles. Firstly, turn every thought to God. The Psalms do this all the time. So I put Psalm 23 in your sheet simply because it's probably the most familiar, so we don't need to spend as long getting to know it. So we start with an easy one, as it were. But, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a statement about God. It's a he. But actually, we might turn that into a prayer just by saying, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. And sort of rather than just being a sort of a truth, perhaps a bit out there, we just talk to the Lord about these things. And we might just use that to commune with our Lord. Prayer is not just this vending machine trying to get things. I do think primarily it's about our relationship with the Lord and enjoying that relationship. And so saying, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. So we can turn every thought to God, even if it's a statement about God. And actually the psalmist does that. By midway through the psalmist is turning to the Lord. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for you are with me. So the psalmists often do that, talk about the Lord, but then turn those thoughts to God. So we might do that. So we might pray, Lord, you are my shepherd, I shall not want. Pray for other people. This is an individual psalm of David, a believer. I think the psalms are very much models for us. And so these are the words of a believer. I think we can use them ourselves, but we might pray them for other people who are believers. The psalms are interesting that they often use the I, me, my, the Lord is my shepherd. But the community is never far from view. They would have been prayed and sung together in temple and then synagogues. And so I think to say, actually, Lord, you are my friend's shepherd. She shall not want. You make her lie down in green pastures. That'd be a wonderful thing to do if this person's a believer, therefore they share in these truths. I remember a number of years ago now, doing this with a group, and one lady spoke of how her daughter had gone off to only child, or certainly oldest child, gone to France to study. Sort of 18, left home, went off to France, and suddenly this daughter that she'd sort of treasured and cherished and looked after now felt such a long way away. And actually she could pray, Lord, you are her shepherd. She shall not want. You make her lie down in green pastures. And just how she could just pray that to the Lord to encourage her own heart and to delight in the Lord's provision and care for. In a sense, she wanted to shepherd and provide for her daughter, but that was she couldn't with her at a distance, but she could pray that. So we can pray for other people. And then the final thing, pray the promises. A consistent pattern in the Psalms. We won't have time to turn to occasions of this, but Psalm 25 is a classic example. The psalmist say a truth about God or a promise of God, and then go and ask God for that very same thing. And so, an example here might be: let's just stick with the first verse or two, with the Lord is my shepherd. We might say, Lord, be my shepherd. May I not want. Make me lie down in green pastures. Doing that is not to suddenly take a promise of God and make it look uncertain, as if, oh, might he not? Just for example of this, just think of the Lord's Prayer. Aren't we in the Lord's Prayer asking God for exactly what he's promised? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, glorify your name. Well, the Lord says, I will glorify my name. Your kingdom come. Gosh, is that in doubt? Is it dependent on this prayer? Gosh, that's quite a responsibility. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. I thought Christ had been put to death for sins once for all. We pray what God has promised. It's a way of delightfully laying hold of these promises. Not because we pray thinking they might not happen, but actually when we receive these things from the Lord. I mean, God provides for us every day, but if we start the day saying, Lord, I need you to provide for me today, please provide, won't that change how we receive God's blessings that day? And so praying the promises is a way of showing faith in them. Alec Motier, in his wonderful Isaiah commentary, says the appropriate response to the promises of God is for God's people to pray them back to him. And so that's what we might do here. And so often for God's children or others, it might be for me, verse 6,
For my godchildren, Lord, follow them with your goodness and mercy all the days of their life, and may they dwell in your house forever. I can pray, Lord, please bless them. That's fine. God hears. God delights in that prayer. It was the parent with the children thing. It's not that I need to get to some super level of praying, but actually, how much is my heart enlarged by God's goodness as I pray these things? And what a wonderful way to pray in line with what he's promised to do. And gosh, I can't think of many more things I'd rather someone prays for my child, that God would pursue her with goodness and mercy all the days of her life, and then she would dwell in God's house forever. That's a prayer I want people to pray, and that's a wonderful prayer to pray for others. And so we can turn thoughts to God, we can pray for other people, and we can pray the promises. If God has... I actually did it at the start of the day. I was alluding to Psalm 147. I said, Psalm 147 verse 3, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. When someone's suffering, we don't often know what to pray. Please would this happen or that happen? Don't know, but Lord, please would you heal the brokenhearted. Please bind up wounds. And we know he will. He will choose exactly what answering that prayer looks like, but he will do those things because he's promised. And so I can pray that prayer with confidence. And boy, it reminds me of the character of the God to whom I'm praying. And that's a wonderful thing. And so we can, we can pray God's promises back to him as a way of delightfully laying hold of them. So what I want to do is have a go, turn in groups. I'm suggesting Psalm 23 because by and large it's probably familiar to many of us, but we could pick a whole number of psalms. And just try to pick, a line or two and pray that verse or so in the way we've been thinking, maybe just to pray it to God, to pray it for someone else, maybe to pray the promises. Just to try and, for the purpose of this exercise, stay relatively close to the text of the psalm. Hear me rightly, when we pray, we don't have to do this. But just for this exercise, just have a go at being quite close to Psalm 23 as we pray, rather than praying as we normally do. Just to try exercising a new muscle, as it were. We'll turn in groups. And you might, you might pray in a way that sort of just makes a little... not going to share situations, but you might say, I pray for my friend Jenny, who's having a hard time. And that'll help people just understand what you're praying. Have a go. Remember, we're children talking to a Heavenly Father. He's not there looking to correct us. He's given us, I think, these psalms to encourage us. He delights in any prayer we offer, perfected by the Spirit, won through Christ, heard by a loving Father. So with great confidence, let's take a few moments to have a go. Maybe let's take 8 to 10 minutes, see how we go. Just turn in groups. Try not to pray the whole psalm. The first person who prays, pray the whole psalm. You could always turn to a different psalm, but just, everyone have a little go. I'll be sort of hanging here, so if that really didn't make sense, come and ask me. But, threes or so, let's turn and pray together. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, can I ask you to draw prayers to a close? You absolutely can.
I was going to say, in our church, we're going through Psalms now. And our pastor always said to us, let us pray now and let the Psalms, So, thank you very much.
Wonderful. I don't think I've met your pastor, but I like your pastor. Hallelujah. I'd love to hear just people's reflections on that. As I say, not the only way to pray, but I hope just something to help us as we pray. People's reflections on having a go at praying the Psalms like that. What did you notice?
First of all, I'm really encouraging.
Yep.
Because it is such what you're doing, and as you said, God has already promised, or asking promise, which is, should I pray this? Well, it's in black and white.
Yeah.
You're okay to pray.
Yeah.
Go and get lost praying it for a few days. It's called a treat.
Yeah. Good.
I think also kind of gave a richness there. It's in God's word. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly, I've been thinking about the wordiness of sometimes in our prayers. If I have to explain everything to God. Mm-hmm. And actually, can be just a short prayer. It will be my shepherd. Be the shepherd of this earth. Mm-hmm. And it says it all.
Yeah.
We don't have to use a lot of words.
Yeah, thank you. I'm assuming people can hear what others... I won't repeat, but if someone says something at one end of the room and others don't hear, just shout and we'll repeat stuff. But yeah, thank you.
It's really interesting. I don't think the Psalms you get to the heart of what David is doing. This is his praise to God. Unless you actually pray the Psalms, you don't see that.
Yeah. There's something so encouraging about praying with others, isn't there? Just, and we can join in with those prayers. Yeah.
Even though we were praying for other people, it was comforting for me, and I felt closer to them as well. It was a real unity of the spirit.
Yeah. Good.
I like the praying for others. I'm a bit selfish, so I read through this for me all the time. So actually, I've never thought of, you know, when someone else is going through something, to put it for them.
Yeah.
I think also what you said before, if you don't know what to pray for someone who's going through a hard time, it just gives you something to pray for them. You know, it's yours.
Yeah. And just a slightly personal thing. I now try not to ever text a verse to someone. That's not saying you should never, mainly because I'm deeply insecure as a person. So if someone texts me a verse, I probably assume, do they think I don't believe that verse? That might just reflect me more than anything biblical. But for that reason, I try now, if I want to text an encouragement, I try to say something like, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the Lord would be your shepherd today and would make you lie down in green pastures, even in the midst of all that you're going through. Again, that probably reflects me more than anything else. Please don't hear me say, you said we should never take verses. But I try to sort of say, here's what I'm praying for you. I hope to be an encouragement. And actually do then, you know, do pray that thing. But I think it does, yeah, what do you say to someone who's just going through the mill? I pray that, you know, your boss has finally left the organisation, or what? Like, I mean, I can say, I pray the Lord would be your. I pray the Lord would, you know, prepare a table for you, even in the presence of your own. Whatever, I don't know. It can be helpful to think, I don't know exactly what to pray, but I can pray these sort of things. Others? Yeah.
I feel slightly different psalm. Am I right thinking there are some psalms in which David prays something like, Lord, you've got to answer me because I've been good?
Yeah.
And I feel slightly uncomfortable.
Yes. How long have you got? For the purposes of this, I will say, choose a different psalm. All those ones that talk about bashing the heads of enemies and other unpleasant things. The enemies, there's probably about 10 psalms that depending on our constitution, but 10 psalms where we think, can I pray that? Maybe a few more. And then some of the David claims to righteousness. By the way, I think there are answers to that. I can talk at length on that. But
there's enough psalms.
But I tend to say, look, there's 150 psalms. Let's say there's 10 where David sounds a bit self-righteous, 15 where he sounds a bit vindictive. Okay, why not leave those? Pray the other, 100 and... Yes? Pray those for a year. And, slightly cheeky, I tell people, pray the other 130, whatever. And if you really feel, come back to me in a year's time. If you say, I'm sorry, Matt, I've just literally prayed them so many times, they're boring. It's not meant to be a cop-out, but actually, I think the goal is that we might pray and relate to God and engage with him. And I have absolutely no problem in thinking, I don't quite know what to do with that psalm, I'm going to move on. I think better to do that than just say, I'm not going to pray any of the psalms until I can pray all of the psalms. I don't quite know why we would have that mindset. So I think there are things that can be said in certain situations where they can be used and understand what David is and isn't saying. For the purposes of this, the same with the enemy psalms, I'd say, I would just move on. And probably the best way actually to be able to answer that question is to spend so much time in the rest of the psalms. We're entering more and more into that world. Probably then the harder ones will start to have maybe more of an idea of what to do with them. So which is why I started with Psalm 23, which there's a kind of the oil on my head bit that we maybe don't quite understand, but lots of it is more straightforward. So on the back at the bottom, I've put a few psalms that are probably the more accessible. And so I'd encourage you to start with things that you know. Did anyone mention Jesus in their prayers? Is that of interest? Yeah, a few people.
Because if you didn't send Jesus Christ today
on
the cross, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
Worshipping.
Yeah. And, we might thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I didn't tell anyone to do that, but I sometimes think we can overcomplicate. How do we pray these psalms as Christians? Probably we all did. And so we might think about more ways we can do that, but actually, just to have confidence, we can just pray the psalm. And, when I think about God being with me in the shadow of death, I think I'm thinking of particularly, Christ walking through the shadow of death for me. As I celebrate God being my good shepherd, we see that particularly in Jesus. So we're not going to pray exactly as David did. I think often how much more as Christians do we understand some of these things? I think we probably know more than David did about what it means to dwell with the Lord forever. So we can pray with a greater understanding. But I think so often we're doing that quite naturally. And therefore I just say, just have that freedom rather than thinking, I need a very complex class on, biblical interpretation before I could risk praying a psalm. I think often, there's some we might think, I don't know what to do with that one, move on. But actually, I think most of us are praying as Christians and praying in the light of Christ, in the light of what he's done, quite naturally. And just to encourage you, I think actually we can just flick a psalm and start praying, and we will be praying good Christian prayers. Did anyone find they just then went off into praying for other things as well? A few people? That's great, isn't it? If I'd have just said, right, everyone, turn to a neighbour, pray for 10 minutes. What do I say? Whereas actually, maybe some of these prayers prompted other prayers that weren't from Psalm 23. What a wonderful thing. So it's not to constrain us, but sort of to get us going. Anyone pray for suffering Christians?
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We pray for the world, we pray for House of Commons, we pray for the sea, we pray for everybody.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Can I come to your church? Isn't that great? And so, not that this is the only place you can do that from, but when I'm tempted to be quite just about me and my pressing concerns and what I've got on, a psalm like this might push me out into thinking of other people. Perhaps, Psalm 27 which is one of the ones on the back, I said you might want to sort of look at. You know, it talks about Christians particularly being, or believers being persecuted and armies against them, and that might make me think of, like, where are the war-torn parts of the world that I can particularly pray for believers? And often having something like this just lifts me beyond my own pressing concerns. Psalm 27 actually has that line, do not forsake me, even though my father and my mother forsake me. And I think of Christians I've known, where becoming a Christian from their family background has meant they've been disowned. And it particularly prompts me to pray for and remember them when I... And so often having something in front of us can just help us, rather than just go, what's on my mind? And praying for that, but just pushes into praying all the things that you are... You know, praying for the sick, praying for the brokenhearted, all these things. And I hope, as someone has said, it gives us a richer view of God. I'm always really encouraged when prayer... Like, often one of the times I hear other people praying is prayers from the front of church. When prayers from the front of church are noticeably different from the wish list of any sort of, you know, any non-Christian person in the world, but with "Dear God" attached to the front. There are lots of things that might be good and right to pray for. Please would the war end in Ukraine. Please would medical supplies get through. Please would the government not this. Please would the this people group not be put. We can talk to God about all of those, but actually my friend can say, who's not a Christian, can say, "I hope that," and say exactly the same things. Not that we don't pray those things, but maybe if we bring, "These are the things I want to pray for," and then bring them to one of the Psalms, we might say, "Lord, that, you know, people are suffering in Ukraine. We ask that you would bind up the brokenhearted as you promised. We ask that you would send out your light and your truth as you promised." And it just helps us remember who we're praying to. You know, sort of inching how the psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is, in a sense, this is an exposition of what, okay, if God is shepherd, how might we relate to him? He's a provider. And so actually when we pray, I do think actually addressing God, we can, you know, "Our Father" is a characteristic Christian way of praying, but we might sometimes say, "Oh, you know, God who weighs the nations in a balance, please." Or, "God who's promised to bring people from every tribe and nation around the throne of Jesus Christ, please." And just actually have very God-rich, God-centered prayers. And perhaps this might help us do that. Even if we then pray for some similar things. "God who has shown particular compassion for the weak." Jesus who, when he was on earth, spent time with the weak and the vulnerable. We do pray for the vulnerable in Ukraine right now. Do you see, we can pray for the same things, but just perhaps this biblical language helps, just helps see who God is in it. There's a couple more things on the back, ways of praying a bit more responsively. I'll let you have a little ponder on that. But the goal, again, is remember we have free access, won by Christ, to our Heavenly Father. It's not that this session makes our prayers a step above everyone else's. It's not that this session makes our prayers more heard by God, but rather we have this privilege of prayer, which sometimes we find hard in different ways. And I think this is one of the ways that God has given us to help us engage with him. And so I commend it to you, but please see it as a useful way to help us lift our thoughts to God, to retune our hearts to pray God's way. But as is helpful, there will be many other ways. By the way, I've noticed, I love this book, if you haven't read it, really short, Fresh Pathways in Prayer, Julian Hardiman. Just lots of practical things. This might help you try this. There's something beautifully simple and practical about it. And this session is very much intended to be the same, not a "you must do this," but I hope this might help you engage with our Lord. Let me pray, and then we'll finish. But I'm happy to stick around if people have got questions.
As you're explaining, something helped me a lot was realising that we wouldn't be praying for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. And this kind of helped me understand a little bit some of the Psalms of David in a new way. Maybe it's like Jesus is the son of David, so he can truly say, "I have the hands." Yeah. And although I don't have a right to serve my own in Christ, I do have a right. So in Christ, I can pray, you know, on that basis, and like insofar as the Psalms, David talks about his enemies in the Psalms, well, Jesus' enemies is death and sin, and those who oppose the gospel. So that's the sense in which I've started to think about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it would be lovely to have more time to talk about how in Christ, so many of these things, we want to, understand everything in light of Jesus Christ. So, sorry we haven't had more time to dive into that. But, absolutely. Let me pray, and then I'll stick around if people have got questions. Actually, I'm going to read, and use a bit of Psalm 73 to pray. Just doing what we've done. I'm just going to take four verses, Psalm 73, verses 23 to 26, and use these to pray for us as we conclude. Heavenly Father, we are continually with you. You hold us by our right hand. And so today and every day, guide us with your counsel, and afterwards receive us to glory. Lord, whom do we have in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth we desire besides you. Though our heart and our flesh may fail, Lord, would you be the strength of our heart? Would you be our portion and our delight forever? And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved Saviour. Amen.
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 Matt, thank you very much indeed. I think some parts of the world we'd say, let's appreciate Matt. Is that all right? Do you understand what I mean by that? We want to say thank you very much indeed.
You mean send chocolate?
Chocolate. Brilliant. Thank you very much for showing that, for sticking around just for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Great. Two practical things to say before I pop off. If just the second session on lament, we have on the Gospel Partnership in just over 10 days' time, Wednesday the 24th of May in Chippenham. Eric Auckland is doing a session on Job, whose title I've just for the moment forgotten. but if you happen to be free in 10 days' time on a Wednesday and can go to Chippenham, then it's on the Gospel Partnership website. Just go Southwest Gospel Partnership, Job, and see what happens. And then from a practical point of view, what Jane would like to happen is for the tables to go into the cupboard and the chairs to go against the wall. I think this works best if about half people are involved and half are not involved. So if you'll forgive me, I'll do it like this. If you've borne the heat and the burden of the day, allow us to serve you by you not having to do lifting and shifting. And then so that those who haven't borne the heat and burden of the day, we'll do that. It's tables over there and chairs over there. Is that right?
Yes,
great. Cups over there. I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Cups
over there.
Cups over there, yeah.
Cups over there. Yeah, thanks.